beloved radio friends, we greet you in the warm, precious name of our beloved Savior, the Lord Jesus, and rejoice with you that we can continue the meditation of God's precious Word from day to day. It is a blessing to bring the Word of God, the only message of eternal life, the only book that contains God's way of salvation for lost, guilty sinners. And we continue our study in the Epistle of Paul to the Galatians. We have already been considering chapter 3. And today we shall read verses 15 through 18. In the former section of this chapter, we have noted the great contrast between faith, simple trusting faith in Christ, and the merits and the works of the law. We have found that the law necessarily has brought upon us the curse. Not because the law is bad, oh no, for it is good and it is holy. But we are bad. Men are sinners. Yet how wonderful it is to know that God, through the gospel of our Savior, declares His love to us and His desire to bless us. And though the law may reveal to me my sins as well as the curse that I deserve, yet on the other hand, faith will bring me into a blessing. Yes, faith will bring me into all the blessings that God's grace has provided in Christ. Now as we consider the next section of Galatians chapter 3, reading from verse 15 through 18, we shall find that we come to another question. It is the question of a promise. Here are the inspired words of God saying, "Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years afterward, can never disannul, that it should ever make the promise of non-effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise." Here again we find another contrast presented for our consideration, a covenant of promise that God gave to Abraham, contrasted with the covenant of the Mosaic law. We now have to consider that God made a promise to Abraham as well as 430 years later He gave to Israel the law. Now Abraham knew nothing about the law. He lived before it ever was given. Neither did his seed that followed him, such as Isaac, Jacob, and Esau, and their immediate descendants. Yet they could never deny that Abraham received the blessing. Now what was involved in God's promise to Abraham? Now let us carefully read the 16th verse together. God writing to say, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made." Now I want you to note the emphasis upon two words, his seed. Then follow on and note that the apostle explains, saying, "He saith not, and to seeds in the plural as of many." For God is not referring to all the natural descendants of Abraham, but God is referring to but one particular person who came from the seed of Abraham. The close of this verse clearly tells us who this is. And to thy seed, which is Christ. God's promise to Abraham was that Christ should come through him. Now I wonder if we realize that when God long before said to Abraham in Genesis chapter 22 and verse 18, "And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice," that God was giving a promise that through his own beloved Son, Jesus Christ, who is of the seed of Abraham, all the Gentile nations would unconditionally be able to come under the blessing of Abraham. This was the glorious gospel that God gave Paul to preach to all the nations. It was the fulfillment of God's covenant of promise given to Abraham. Now, when did God give this promise to Abraham? Let us note carefully what Paul writes in verse 17. "And this I say, that the covenant was confirmed before of God in Christ, before the law, which was 430 years after. And therefore the law cannot disannul it, that it should make the promise of none effect." Now let us clearly understand the value of this promise that God made to Abraham. Let us ask this question. When God, 430 years afterward, gave the covenant of the law through Moses, did he cancel his promise that he had made to Abraham? The promise that when Christ came, the Gentiles would receive the blessing of Abraham without the law? No, God did not cancel his promise, writes Paul. The bringing in of the law did not make the promise ineffective. God did not go back upon his promise. And even though the law was given to Israel centuries later, it was not by the law that believing, and particularly the believing Galatians, had received the blessing of salvation, but they had received it entirely by the good news of the gospel. The promises that God had given to Abraham, that through Abraham's seed, Christ himself, the nations would be blessed. My beloved radio friend, if God gave this promise for you and for me, through Abraham, is there any possible way that you and I could ever inherit such a promised blessing? By the law? Absolutely no way. God promised to bless you and me on the ground of faith alone. And if we could inherit it by the law, well then note the closing argument of the Apostle Paul in verse 18, when he says, "For if the inheritance be of the law," meaning, if the blessing and the inheritance of this blessing be by the law, then it is no more a promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. My beloved radio friend, God never goes back on his promises. Now let us finalize, what is the meaning of Paul's argument? If any person possesses anything because of what he has given, all for what he has done to obtain it, then that possession is no more a promise. He has deserved it. It is like doing something for wages. He has paid for it. Now, beloved radio friend, I would like to ask the question. Let me ask it of myself. You ask yourself this same question. Have I perfectly kept God's holy law? Have I proved myself worthy of divine acceptance by keeping all that the law requires? Will God righteously accept me by what and for what I have done? My beloved, if you are honest, you will answer, I have not done all that I should. I have definitely proved myself to be under the curse of the law, and therefore worthy of its sentence of eternal death. Then, my beloved radio friend, if I am to be saved, if I am to be delivered from my sins and their deserving judgment, what can I do? There is only one answer, and I want you to note it. God made a promise through Abraham that my salvation and your salvation would come through Christ, the seed of Abraham, and through Christ alone. Not through the law, through Christ, his only begotten Son. Now, this is God's promise. And Paul is arguing, God made that promise 430 years before the law was ever given by him to Israel. And though the law was given, Paul says, the law did not make that promise of non-effect. It still stands. Now we ask the question, my friend, are you believing God's promise to save you through Christ and his death alone? Or do you still cling to the law which condemns you? My beloved, be sensible. Christ died to save you from the curse of that law. And we say again with the poet, when he died, it was once for all. He died to deliver you from the law with its curse. Once for all, O sinner, receive it. Once for all, O friend, believe it. Cling to the cross. Your burden will fall. Christ hath redeemed us once for all. I pray that you are standing upon the promise of God through Christ Jesus your Lord. Father, sanctify and bless thy truth for the glory of our Savior in his worthy name. Amen.